This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Right now, it's always a pleasure to have one of our colleagues in the media. We're all in the same game, you know, and it's good to get their perspective on things. And McGregor McCants is the editor of the Charlottesville Daily Progress. It comes to your home every day. And circulation to the thousands. And we appreciate him joining us this afternoon because we're talking about a recent case that he's involved in and where it comes to the documents in the Yardley Love case. And there's still a lot to be discovered in that case, obviously, but there's a reason that three news organizations have come together in a suit to have documents unsealed. So let's get some more on that information from McGregor, who's with us. Hey, man, thanks for being with us on the program this afternoon.
Sure thing, Jay. I appreciate it. How are you doing?
We're doing great. We're turning you into a radio man. So, let me ask you this. Can you give us a little bit of background? Where was the genesis? And I believe it's the Richmond Times-Dispatch, the Washington Post, and yourself, which are all three reputable news organizations.
It is the three of us in addition to the Associated Press. Those are the groups that are involved in this particular filing in the Love case.
All right. So, basically, how did it all begin? How did it come to your desk and move us forward from there?
Well, I guess it kind of started with the beginning of the case when authorities made the arrest in the case of George Hughley, and pretty soon thereafter began to file what's known as affidavits for search warrants. And these documents explain sort of what the authorities are trying to seek by obtaining search warrants, and they have to file these as public records in the courthouse. So when the first of when the first three of these affidavits were filed, they were filed in the court case filing in Charlottesville, and the Daily Progress, as well as you know now, seems like a million other news outlets obtained those documents and reported on the early days of the case as it was going. So everyone had access to those documents early on. And then the next step was the actual returns of the search warrants, and there were several search warrants that were outstanding, including searches of the two apartments as well as a physical search of Hughley.
Mm-hmm.
So one of those search warrant returns came back in, and the Progress was able to obtain it, and we reported on that. Soon thereafter, other news organizations went to the courthouse to try to obtain that document and any other new warrant documents that were in, and were told that the documents were sealed by the court.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, access to any filings that occurred after that first one that we obtained were off limits. And the unusual thing, in addition to the sealing of those documents, the court decided that the order that actually closed off the documents was also sealed from public inspection.
Hmm. We're talking with McGregor McCants. He's the editor of the Charlottesville Daily Progress. We're talking about the lawsuit of four news organizations being filed to find documents that are sealed and have them unsealed for obvious reasons. I'm curious about this for folks, for the layperson, McGregor, who's listening to the program and they're going, okay, it's a lot of legal stuff.
Right.
You know, is it unusual in court cases for these type of documents to be sealed?
Jay, I can't really speak to how unusual it is, but I think one of the things that makes news organizations so interested in trying to get these documents, and at least the court order explaining why they're sealed, what makes us so interested in it is that these are presumed to be public documents.
Mm-hmm.
Any number of cases get filed in courthouses every day, and these kinds of documents are presumed to be public and open for inspection as part of the process. So, you know, when they get sealed, news organizations by their nature are going to be interested in trying to find out, A, why were they sealed, and then B, can we get them open for inspection? So that's kind of where we are right now.
Yeah. Now, recently there was a judge, Cheryl Higgins, decided to leave the document sealed. To your understanding, what did she basically say, I guess, to all four of your organizations or to your legal team or whatever the case may be, as to why she thought that the original ruling to seal them needed to stay consistent?
Well, let me start by saying this. The original petition that these news organizations, including the Daily Progress, filed before the judge was not an attempt to get the actual warrants unsealed.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that we were after and remain trying to get is the judge to unseal the actual court order that said, okay, the warrants are all sealed. Because even that thing that presumably would say, I'm sealing these documents for reasons A, B, and C, we don't know what those reasons are. And so the organizations want to see that order so that then we can try to figure out, hey, do we want a challenge to try to open the warrants too? Do we want to make other appeals? But the first step is to try to get that actual court order sealing the documents open for inspection.
What would be the next step then if after this most recent viewing, which was what, in late May, I guess, was that?
Right.
So that occurs, the order's still sealed. So you guys just continue to petition, you go to a higher court. Is that how it works or?
Well, I'm like you. I'm not a lawyer.
So thank you. We'll find our way through the darkness together here.
This is the way I sort of see it right now, Jay, is last week the judge essentially ruled, just boiling it down very basically, that the way the newspapers tried to get her to consider opening the order was inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
So we said okay, and now we've gone back and we've refiled a second time, kind of using a different tool in the toolbox. You know, the first one was a Phillips head screwdriver. That didn't work. Now we're going to try a flathead screwdriver and see if that works.
Mm-hmm.
So we filed that new paperwork, and now we're just kind of waiting for the judge to set a hearing that we can hopefully go back before her and have our attorney argue to try to get the sealing order open.
You'd think typically if the prosecution or the defense got wind of what was going on that they might have something to say about it. And it seems from one of the stories I saw that a letter from the attorneys for Mr. Hughley said that they had nothing to do with it as far as the sealing of the order.
Yeah, that was interesting. It might be, you know, your first reaction, your first gut instinct might be, oh, the defense doesn't want these documents to be viewed by the public. But apparently that's not the case at all. And really, we don't really know who exactly asked for the sealing order to be done or for the documents to be sealed. I mean, it may have been the Commonwealth Attorney's Office. It may have been, you know, the judge herself. We don't really know. That's some of the stuff we're trying to find out if we can get the first thing unsealed. But we're hoping to have a hearing set up for, you know, in the next week or so, whenever the judge can fit it in to try to get our argument heard again.
Yeah. McGregor McCants is the editor of the Charlottesville Daily Progress. They're online at dailyprogress.com. And I appreciate the insight, man. I've been curious about this ever since this started. Times-Dispatch, Progress, Media General Properties, obviously,
right.
Washington Post,
right.
Associated Press,
right.
And you're all getting turned away here, which is very, it's kind of interesting to see how this thing will play out.
And well, it is interesting, and you know, of course, we're all very interested in seeing how it turns out. And to answer your earlier question, Jay, let's assume that the judge says, okay, here is the order that was ordered, that was entered to seal the documents, and then if we got that information, we're fortunate enough to get that information, then we could go, well, should we now try to get the actual warrants unsealed? But that's not a decision that can even be made until we have the first order hopefully open so we can talk about that.
Yeah, because I'm wondering, I would assume in certain cases, they say the material that are in the documents it directly pertains to evidence that we're using in a criminal investigation. Thus,
right.
Could they, if they had just said that, would you all still be seeking to find the documents?
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
yeah.
All of the documents that have been available and reported on now presumably have lists of things that could be considered evidence in a case, and this is not unusual in any case. I mean,
mm-hmm.
those are the very documents that are public, open for public inspection, and just because there's evidence in a case doesn't mean that it can't be reported on or shouldn't be made available, you know, to the public to inspect. I mean, the one return that we did get, the one search warrant return that we did get before they closed it up, I mean, the list of things on there are things like shower curtains, bathroom rugs, white socks, blue polo shirt. Now, of course, one of the items on that one as well was a white UVA lacrosse t-shirt with a red stain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are some interesting things on here, swabs from doorways, swabs from kitchen trash cans. So there's lots of interesting stuff that comes on these things, but sometimes they have, you know, very little of interest or news value. But unless we see them, we won't really know how to make a judgment from a news standpoint on them either.
Well, it's human nature. I think most people are going to assume they wouldn't seal it unless they had a compelling reason to do so.
Yeah,
so.
And this has been a case of tremendous publicity. And not just from Virginia, but as you know, from all over the country. So I know that probably is a factor in this and can completely understand it.
Finally, for McGregor McCants, before we let you go here at 519, every news organization has these blogs, these websites, and you're a fact guy. So I'm not going to ask you to assume or speculate or anything. Factually, Has anybody been commenting on this on your website or anything saying, well, we think this is why they're sealed, or we think this is why it is, because you guys are involved in this at all?
Oh, well, you know, people are commenting and speculating all the time online and on blogs.
Mm-hmm.
And the speculation is all over the place in terms of why things are being sealed up. I mean, there, you know, some might say, well, you shouldn't have access to it anyway. The publicity hurts the case. Others might say, you know, this is just being sealed up because, you know, these are UVA students in lacrosse and come from a different background than others. And, you know, and people can speculate all they want to, and that doesn't really have a bearing, I think, on how we approach it. But you know, that's part of what the Internet's about right now.
Yeah, it's a very active communication channel.
Absolutely.
McGregor McCants, we've kept you long enough, sir, but thanks for being with us and your contribution to the program.
My pleasure, Jay. Take care.
All right, you too.
Okay.
That's the editor of the Charlottesville Daily Progress, McGregor McCants.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.